Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Not to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord. 1 Timothy 6 tells us to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Let's listen as Pastor Joel continues the teaching series, Fighting to Finish, Winning at Spiritual Warfare.
So again, what demons do is they keep you in this category that, you know, it's not about God's house, it's about you. And that's what the devil will do. He makes pawns out of people if we let him. If we let him. But we don't have to, because the word tells us how to operate. The devil has also been very successful in this. I got to say it. He's very successful at keeping men away from churches. How does he do that, fellas? How does he keep us out of the church? He's good at it. He'll not only keep us out of God's house, he keeps men from staying in their own houses. How many women do I know who don't have a man at home? They got the kids, but where's the guy? He's not there. What is it that we can't stay where we're supposed to be? That's something demonic. We need to look into that thing. See, it's not just a church, it's man being in their own home. I see more athletes, I see more people, celebrities, I see more people who say, I didn't have a father at home. I see more men in prison that say, I didn't have a father at home. I see more young men on the street looking for a daddy. I see more people on the street looking for drugs because they never had a father to tell them not to. More men, men who are now 50, 60 years old, still dressing like little boys. I saw a man, 60 years old, pants hanging down, sagging, looking. He had on some lime green and gold tennis shoes, and he was dressed like a youngster, but the man was like 60, maybe 70. And I'm not knocking it the way anybody dressed. I'm just saying, watch the fruit. If you're behaving like a youngster, maybe he didn't have anybody to tell him, you don't do that. It's time to grow up. We're not trying to be, I'm not trying to be any young boy's or young man's friend more than I am trying to be his mentor. Amen. See? Now, I had a father at home. I had a mother at home. But then, generally, I meet more young people who didn't have a father at home. Yeah. At my grandson's school, this young boy, my grandson is 6, and this other little boy is 6. They struck up a friendship, and he was asking my grandson, where are you going? And he said, my grandson said, my dad is coming from work, and he and my mother are going to take me for my birthday. And he said, oh, you have a father at home? That's what this little 5-year-old asked the other 5-year-old. That's because of these devils and demons. That's why we have to know this word. That's why we have to take every thought, everything that doesn't line up with the word of God, you better check that thing out. You better take it into captivity, because the devil is snatching souls. And he's starting with our young people now. You better believe it. You better believe it. I'd like to give you a message that say you're blessed and highly favored. You are. But we got to know these things first if we want to really get the blessing that God has for us, okay? Amen. It calls us to stay away from our houses as well as God's houses. We don't have to stand by and take that, though, you all, because we have authority over demons. That's what we have to understand, okay? The demons only will let demonic bullies. Come on now. We have the power of God in us. And if we're knowledgeable in the word at all, we know that whatever house we dwell belongs, in which we dwell, it belongs to who? It belongs to the Lord. Whether it's the church house, whether it's your house, whether it's the outhouse, everything belongs to the Lord. I don't care. You can't take it away from him. So why would we relinquish anything that belongs to God? Why would we let the devil take it over? Come on. Does that make sense? We don't entrust in demons. Think about it that way, especially the men, especially every man who calls himself a Christ follower. This is a challenge. Stand up and be that. I don't care what it takes. Stand up and be that. Okay, even if you have to die for it, stand up and be that. Okay, just stand up and be where we're supposed to be. It ought to make you want to fight. Makes me want to fight. But come on, butterfly. You just butterfly said makes her want to fight. Well, God bless you, real butterfly. What I'm saying, but that's right. She is a fighter. Spiritual fighter. Spiritual fighter. And that's what we have to do. See, I'm not saying fight physically, go beat up a demon. You can't. You'll lose every time. You talk about you want to fight the devil. If you saw him, you'd probably faint. You're like, where is that devil? You know, demons can make you smell things. You smell so bad, probably, that you just, I can't fight it. You have to hold my breath. So I would just say, learning how to fight in the spirit, okay? That's what we have to do. Pastor, take us to the book of Luke, please. Read what it says in Luke 10, verses 19. This is a short verse.
Luke 10, verses 19.
Listen to this verse
us.
Right here and see if it tells you something. Listen to what Jesus
says. And this is
said.
Jesus speaking. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. I'll tell you what, this scripture carries with it, of course, we're going to look at this, both literal and figurative truth, right? Concerning the power which is afforded to the people of God. Jesus says, I give you this. He's talking about facing serpents and scorpions. Is this physically? Is this spiritually? Somebody said both. Absolutely. How do we know it's both? Bible. Did you see in Acts 28:3? When Paul was gathering wood, it says a viper. We take that to be a poisonous snake, latched on to his hand, caught him by surprise, blindsided him, and he survived it, walked away from it. So we know that's physical. But then we know in the Garden of Eden what happened to Eve, right? Okay, physical, spiritual, because the devil revealed himself in a certain way, right? Okay, this verse then carries with it literal validity and truth, but we can also rest assured that not only do we have power over physical serpents and scorpions, but there are some spiritual vipers out there, okay? There are some spiritual serpents and scorpions out there, okay, of a spiritual nature. And if that's not enough, Jesus adds to this same text. He says, but I've given you power not only over those serpents and scorpions, but of all the works of the enemy. Come on now. He said, I've given you power over all the things that he could do to you. I've given you power over it. And on top of that, the cherry the cherry on top is that he said, and by no means nothing shall harm you. The question is, do we believe that? That sounds good, church. Now, if we want to win at spiritual warfare, we've got to learn to become, if we've got this kind of weaponry, you better learn how to use your weapon, right? You better learn how to use that thing. Because it says right here, he's given it to us. Every child of God, every born-again believer, every color of the rainbow, black, white, Asian, Latino, doesn't matter, Pacific Islander, if you know Jesus and you've entrusted him into your heart and gave your life to him, he says, behold, I give you authority. I give you authority. You don't have to walk in fear. You don't have to feel inadequate. You don't have to be toe up, toe down, put down, look down. You can be in the Word of God and know that God gives you power. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to go through some things because you are. But when you do, and when you're tired of the pain and the torture, you put your boots on and say, Jesus, let's start walking again. And you walk in the Lord. And he said, nothing but shall by any means harm you. Come on now. You all know, can I say this, Sister Elwanda? You all know Sister Elwanda. She's not supposed to be here today. She's hurting. Does it look like she's hurting? No, like she's ready to hurt some demons. I'm going to tell you something. Now, when you look good like that, you're going to hurt some demons. They don't want you looking like that. She hurt her leg. She got this injury. And she came here today. I said, Sister Elwanda, do you feel like doing the announcement? She said, I'm going to do it. She said, I have to do it. You see what I mean? You don't think she's going to be blessed for that? Come on now. And this is what I'm talking about. Jesus says, I've given you authority. Sometimes it's just a mindset, you all. The mind is a powerful thing. It's a very intricate instrument that the Lord put in his people, okay? Power in it. The Bible says that you speak it as you believe, as you speak. You can speak life. You can speak death, okay? So we got to speak positive light. Got to speak the word of God. Do you know that when you speak and you're a saved, born believer, God sets things into motions? Don't you know that? Joshua was chasing those different tribes, and the war was on, and it was getting to be dusk, and he knew that they weren't going to be able to catch these guys, and he's running, and he said, what I need is for that sun to stay still. If the sun don't go down, stay right there. And the sun didn't even set. It said the sun didn't set for 24 hours, and the moon didn't. He said it stayed right there. It's never been done before, and it's never been done again. God said, that's my boy right there. And I'm going to uphold him, and I'm going to make it work. And he'll make it work in your life if you just walk in it. And that's what we have to do when it comes to this word of God. We got to walk in that thing. There it is. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you. Don't go into something that I ain't going to make it. Don't go in there when you go to the hospital and say, I ain't going to survive it. Don't write no will. Just stay in there and say, Lord, what do you say? I'm until God says so. Huh? My nephew was dead in the water. He was a dead man walking. You all met Andrew. I'm going to talk about Andrew now. Not that Andrew. It's another Andrew. Not you, man. We got Andrew here. Andrew's not dead in the water. I'm talking about Andrew Martin. We brought him here. He said, I'm going to come here and tell my testimony. Andrew was sitting looking out the window in a hospital in Chicago. And we were there with him. And he was writing out his will. And the doctors had, I don't even remember what he had. Because he said he recovered so greatly. I don't even remember what he had. But he was all swollen, almost 300 pounds. And the doctors had given up on him. And he was just had all this fluid. He'd probably be on dialysis for the rest of his life. And he was so depressed, he just sit and look out the window. And the Lord, he sent the butterfly. He sent me and Butterfly Jones. And we came, Pastor Butterfly. And we came to the hospital. And she started ministering to Andrew and everything else. And I don't know what happened, but the Lord clicked in. Somehow it clicked in. Andrew had lost almost 200 pounds. He's traveling all over the country. He's all on Facebook. He pops up in all places. He said he's getting ready to escape Chicago. He's getting ready to come out here for the weather till the weather gets better. Then he's going back. But I say that to say this, that he started, he believed on the Lord. He believed in what the Lord said. And the Lord said, you're not going anywhere. He believed it, and the Lord kicked in. Now, Andrew's not on any medication. He's not on dialysis. He's walking around and doing everything that I hope that he's supposed to be doing. So this he's getting a second chance. So this is what the word tells us. We've got to know how to use that weapon. You got a weapon. You got a defense. Use the defense. Use what Jesus has for us. So some folks might not believe that there are figurative serpents and scorpions out there. Oh, but they are. Not the kind you will see at Disneyland or on Harry and the Hobbits or whatever else is going on. I don't know what, it's probably not such a movie, but you know, what's a Hobbit? You know, they got the supernatural movie, Hobbits and Harry Potter. I'm sure they have some scorpions or dragons and all that stuff on there, you know, Hollywood. But I'm saying there are, so people, I'm not talking about those types of serpents. I'm talking about the kind you can't see. Sometimes a scorpion or serpent might be a person, and the devil is using that person as a scorpion. Huh? putting his hand, like the song that Pastor Allie, she said she was a puppet and Satan had his hand in her back. See, sometimes Satan will manipulate you. I said that last week, like Freddy Krueger, just manipulating those people. Well, that's sort of how it is. Do you remember that famous showdown between David and Goliath? Huh? I'm not going to go over the whole incident, but what was really happening in that confrontation was that David knew he had help. David knew about his weapon, right? And just as importantly, David knew where his help was coming from. He knew where to get his help. In 1 Samuel 17, I think it's 44, the giant Goliath said, he said to David, "Come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." That's what he said. Come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. You know what he was saying, if I could paraphrase? He said, "I'm going to make mincemeat out of you." That's what he was saying. Because anytime birds eat something, what they do? They pick it and peck it and they get a little and they tear flesh. You ever seen birds when they get hungry? Even buzzards, they tear that food up like that. So he was saying that he was going to make mincemeat out of David. David was going to be a carcass. Mincemeat means something has been annihilated. So he was going to annihilate David. Okay? That's what he was. I'm not talking about the little mincemeat delicacies that you famous cooks make. I'm talking about the other kind of minced meat, okay? Not the kind with the berries and all that in it. This is related to a carcass being annihilated. But Pastor, watch this. Take us there for a minute. Take us to 1 Samuel 17, verses 45 to 51. I want to explain something here, and then we're going to go to that showdown.
1 Samuel 17, chapter 17, verses 45 to 51 tells us, Then David said to the Philistine, mm-hmm. "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, mm-hmm. but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have denied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God of Israel."
Come on, come on, come on.
"Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear,
That's right.
for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto our hands." Mm-hmm. So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, then David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Mm-hmm. Then David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone, mm-hmm. and he slung it and strung the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face. Mm-hmm. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Mm-hmm. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And then the Philistines saw that their champion was dead. They fled.
All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What a wonderful story. A little gory, but, you know, the Bible contains history, right? And we need to know this is, it's a very physical story, but it's really a spiritual story, isn't it? Uh-huh. See, because, thank you, Pastor, if I didn't say that. You got to know who's with you and knowing where your help comes from. And that's what David knew. David, when you know that, there's no doubt in you. Amen. David had no doubt where his help was going to come from, okay? David was steadfast in his belief. David believed that he stood as a representative of Christ, a representative of the Lord, okay? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is Christ. But this Old Testament, let's keep it right there. David knew that he was standing representing God, Jehovah, the Lord of hosts, the living God of creation. David knew who he belonged to. Amen. So if you compare this incident in First Samuel 17 to what Jesus says in Luke 10:19 about trampling on serpents and scorpions, do you see the correlation? Do you see how that works? Do you see how the Bible is true? Old Testament, New Testament. We can see what I mean about spiritual scorpions and serpents. Goliath wasn't nothing but a big old 9 foot tall scorpion at that time being fueled by the devil. Okay. But whether you 9 feet or 6 feet, you don't have to fear anybody or anything if you're walking in the Lord. And whether that scorpion or serpent is a person or a disease, you still don't have to fear it if you're walking in the Lord. Whether that giant is unemployment, you still don't have to worry about it. Homelessness, you still don't have to worry about it. It still shouldn't change how you feel about God if you believe that he said, I can deliver you and nothing by any means should harm you. Am I saying, does that make sense? I'm telling you, see, there's no halfway with God. It's all the way. If you want all that he's got for you, you got to tune into that thing. You got to remember, you got to rev this baby up and let's get walking with Jesus. Amen. Let's get rolling with Christ. What do you mean we're going over some bumps? Let's just keep going over those bumps, but we're going with Christ. Amen. And you got to obey. We'll get to that. But spirits, these scorpions, figuratively set up to be trampled on by God's man. Man of the moment. David was the man of the moment. How many of you know that God uses men of the moment? How many of you know that he's looking for a woman of the moment? That's what he says. That's what it says in 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord search to and fro across the entire earth, seeking to show himself strong on behalf of those who are truly turned to him. He's looking. He already knows. He's just looking to see if you're going to look away or not. He already knows who it is, but he's looking at you to see if you'll look away or not, or to see if you'll meet God face to face and say, Lord, speak to me. I'm the one, Lord. Send me, Lord. Send me. I'll give it up. I'll give it up for you. Even if I have to go through something, I know you're with me. That's what we're talking about. He's going to test his people. He wants you to know that if you sign on with me, be with me. Be with me if you're walking with me. You remember when Jesus was walking, he said the multitudes were with him? The multitudes went with him? What did Jesus do? He turned around and said, wait a minute. He said, wait a minute. If you want to come with me, you got to take up your cross. He said, if you want to come with me, you got to be prepared to leave mother, father, sister, brother. He said, are you ready to do that? Yeah. See, because when you're walking with Jesus, you're going to walk through some places. Uh-huh. When I went to hang out with my big brothers, south side of Chicago, we had to cross the tracks. We were tough on one side of the track. But on the other side of the tracks, it was something else altogether. And when I had to go with my brothers, they wouldn't let me go with them because I was the youngster. My brothers were 12 of us, so I was little. And it wasn't until one of my brothers was shot that I knew I had graduated because they went looking for the guy that shot him. And they went looking, and I just sat there like David. And they said, come on, Joe, go with us. I said, I can go? They said, yeah. Boy, I must have grown 5 years in that one moment. We went in looking for the guy that had shot my brother. But what I'm saying is that God's looking for somebody that will carry the cross.
Amen. Jesus said, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Connect with us, like and follow us on Facebook. And if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. If you're in need of prayer or encouragement, we're here for you. Call us at 707-759-5244. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program, and we're thankful you tuned in today. Listen, if you have a desire and the means to sow a financial seed, will you prayerfully consider doing so today? All financial donations are tax-deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow Him. Join us for Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. and walk through the Bible with us Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Thanks for tuning in to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for the continuation of Fighting to Finish, Winning at Spiritual Warfare with Pastor Joel. Until next time.